Father, we just thank you so much for gathering together unto you, the fellowship that we have one another, how we, Father, just thank you, Father, for your presence, your teaching, and all that you're revealing unto us. Continue to bless, Lord. Give us guidance, O God, and wisdom, and all that you would have us to do and say. For we so ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's start reading just at verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1 through 10 for now. Okay?
All right, we're in Matthew.
I think it's Brenda's turn, or is it Buddy's turn?
Oh, it's his turn.
We'll start with Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Mm-hmm. At that time, the disciples came up and asked Jesus, "Who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting the Lord, trusting and lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. Whoever will humble himself, therefore, become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name receives and accepts and welcomes me. But whoever caused one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleave to me to stumble and sin, that is, who entices him or hinders him in right and conduct or thought, it would be better, more expedient and profitable, an advantage for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be sunk in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for such temptations to sin and influences to do wrong. It is necessary that temptation come, but woe to the person who, on whose account or by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot cause you to stumble and sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better, more profitable and wholesome for you to enter life maimed and lame than to have two hands, two feet, and be thrown into the everlasting fire. And if your eyes cause you to stumble in sin, pluck it out and throw it away from you. It is better, more profitable and wholesome for you to enter life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, Gehenna, or fire, a fire. Beware that you do not despise or feel scornful toward or think little of one of these little ones. For I tell you that is in heaven, their angels always are in the presence and of and look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven."
Okay. Let's go ahead and do 11 too.
For the Son of Man came to save from the penalty of eternal death that which was lost.
Okay. I was really taken by where it says, unless you become as a little child. And in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus called the little one to his side, and he said to them, "Learn this well. Unless you do radically change your way of thinking and become reachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. That's not, you know, I always take, there's two sides to look at that. Some people translate the way that it is in the King James, you shall never enter the kingdom of God. That's an admonishment that I am God and I will not let you in. I don't think that's what it's saying at all. I'm saying, if you don't become as a little child, or teachable, wide-eyed wonder, you can't even imagine entering the kingdom of God. It's not something, no one's going to keep you from it. You're just not going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to understand it. Anyway, I looked up this word, Jesus called a little one to his side. And in the Passion, it says, a little one is a toddler. The Greek word is paedion, either a boy or a girl, but it's a toddler. And you know, it got me to thinking about on Wiffle Ball Wednesdays, as I love to call it now, who is it that takes all of our attention? I'll tell you who takes all of my attention, Gus. He is so joyful. He just rides around that little truck and somebody just pushes him around. He doesn't even work at it. He doesn't even try to do anything by his own works. He just sits there and somebody pushes him around. He can't even see who's pushing him. He's just enjoying the, you know, the wind whipping him, and he's got a little baby truck in his trunk. And he's just, and the boy is just so, and you know, every once in a while he comes around and he'll go, oh, and his mom will give him a glass of cold water and he'll go, oh, yeah. And the kid is just precious to behold. And I see that in little children. If you come from a family, maybe it's more prevalent now than it ever was before, but when I was growing up, a little toddler, you know, if even hunger entered your brain, your mom would give you a cookie, you know. And when it was time for dinner and you were hungry and Dad came home and the rest of the kids came in, you didn't go and go, what are we going to eat? You just sat down at the table and knew that there was going to be provision for you, you know. And your whole concept of life was different. Wide-eyed wonder. And that to me is, and it says, you know, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck if you harm that wide-eyed wonder, because that is what it takes to enter the kingdom of heaven. But now, having said that, the kingdom is, once you get inside, yes, you're a toddler, but there is processing and there is growth, and there is, but it's not done by harming that wide-eyed wonder. It is done by discipling and growing and, you know, eating that loaf of Wonder Bread. Anyway, does anybody have anything that they'd like to say about that? It just really, that little part of it really grabbed.
You find that a child is trusting. Mm-hmm. They're trusting because how you've treated them, and you've been taking care of them, and they trust you. Because they know, so if God is wanting us to so trust Him, mm-hmm. and be trusting, mm-hmm. really, no matter what we're seeing with our natural eye, mm-hmm. but He has so proven Himself to us as we have grown in Him, matured in Him, and that's the way a little child is.
I love that. Anybody else? I don't know what it is about little children, but they are so precious. It's really difficult for me.
Well, it's like we were talking the other night after dinner, Friday night, mm-hmm. about Michael, and we said he's a free spirit. Little kids are a free spirit. They have no fear.
Yes.
They don't know, you know, they're just, everything is wide open,
yes.
to them.
And truly, they have no malice until it's taught to them. Yeah. I remember little children coming up to me and saying things that would infuriate me if it was said by an adult. But yeah. I can remember Pat Bullock's little, one of her little kids said, you know, Grandma, you walk funny. Well, that's their perception. There's no malice in that, you know. Or a little child come up to me. It was a complete stranger when I had the Bell's palsy really, really bad. What's wrong with your face? Well, I don't know. It's the way God made me.
You're open and honest, really. Mm-hmm. You're honest and truthful.
Yes.
Yeah, truthful.
And they truly want to know, and they don't want to know for, you know, they don't, they're not trying to make a statement about you at all. They just want to know.
Well, the kids are always watching.
No.
What you're doing. They learn as much from watching what you're doing as anything else.
Yeah.
And in the point that, you know, yes, he's using a child to illustrate this, but he's talking about anyone who is not mature and doesn't know him is the child.
Yes.
Then that kind of puts it back on us to walk through this world the way that we're supposed to walk through this world, because they're watching us.
Yeah.
And you can preach a sermon to them all day long, and you can quote scripture all day long, and then if you show them the complete opposite of that scripture in what you do and what you say, that scripture doesn't mean a thing to them. Because they're seeing in real life what you're living. So
yeah.
that's where it comes down to, you know, mm-hmm. we have to learn to walk in the way that we're supposed to, because people are always watching, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a good thing. And sometimes I think we might lose track of that. And of course we all have our moments of complaining and being grouchy and not being the kind of person we should be. We all have those moments. We can't help it. We can't help ourselves yet. We're still learning. But, you know, the more that you learn to get past those, the better teacher to those kids around you that you'll be, just by how you act.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is tied into this, but I was watching a commercial the other night, and they showed this father, he was making tacos or whatever, and his daughter had her little play stuff out, little toys. She was watching him, so like he would be rolling out the tacos, and she'd be watching, and she'll do her little thing on her little play stove, and then like he would drop something, and she'd be watching, she'd drop something too, and then he cut his finger, and she had like she cut her finger, so. It's like watching and doing what the father's doing.
They mimicked it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I was thinking, that is a lesson, but it's a commercial, but it's a lesson.
I saw the exact same thing the other night. I was watching Jaws. Jaws has been on 100 times here lately, I guess because it's summertime. And there's a point in that movie where, I don't know, the shark had ate somebody or something, and the police chief, Roy Scheider, whatever his name is, he's sitting at the table, and he's really struggling. And he's got his hands over his head, and they show next to him his little boy sitting over here, and he's got his hands on his head. And then he's got his hands like this, and the kid's got his hands like this, and he's watching him. And then he notices him, looking at him. And then he, like, moves his hands funny or something, and the kid does it, and then he looks over at him, he winks and he smiles, or he makes a big ugly face or something. So it's like, you know, they're always watching. And I mean, you've had kids, and you know, you've had kids and you've helped raise kids, and it's like you see a trait come through in your kid, grandkid, that every once in a while you say, I guess they saw that. I guess they caught that. You know what I mean? And it makes you feel good that they got that, because we definitely give them some of the traits we don't want to give them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's like when you see those good traits that they have picked up, because, you know, it's, I've had four boys and I've tried to raise them the right way. Now, they're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect, but I never spent day after day after day hammering things home, like certain things, you know what I mean? It's just like, teach them the way to live, show them the way to live, and they'll learn how to live, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know, it's just, when you see those things coming forth that you were trying to teach them, it's makes you feel good that they got it.
Actions speak louder than words.
Sure, sure.
Yes, they do.
Talk is cheap, right?
Yeah, the actions.
Even with your kid.
Every time I get little Rashi, this is Savannah's little boy. We had him for a whole week. Because he lives with Elizabeth, his grandmother, which is Savannah's mother. And he'll be playing and all that. And you can watch how kids play, because I've had a child who was in counseling, and she watched how they played. Mm-hmm. And her counseling came from their playing is what they have been learning, what mm-hmm. they have been seeing. And I know every time he's there, I always say, come on, give me some love. I say, and he's 10 now, but he still comes over and I hug him and kiss him all over his little face, mm-hmm. you know. And because and love is action. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, and that. And then I know this, when we were going to this counseling, the counselor said, who is it that she cooks with all the time, and it's doing, because in her playing, she's always cooking and mm-hmm. doing things. Because in the cooking, you're teaching them, mm-hmm. they're, you know, even the little math and that. And I said, me, because it was me she cooked with, and she said, she is finding security and comfort in cooking. Mm-hmm. And it's just action, it's that, and it's what you're doing and how you are really communicating with them yeah. in the midst, you know, that children are beautiful. They're so, and they teach us, we're to teach them, but there's much that they teach us also because of their innocence mm-hmm. and their honesty.
In Luke 17, it's, you know, the parallel to this story. And where Matthew 8:6 says, you know, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, Luke 17 says, then he said unto his disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. That's when that child, he's not always going to be treated, you know, like the little child that we are taught to treat them. It's impossible. Offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be the one who teaches them that. The world is out there. Egypt is out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's everything in the world out there to teach them offenses, but if they have a strong foundation, what it is to be loved and cherished. I remember we were talking the other night about another couple, and this happens to people who believe the way we do a lot, but there are people who do not believe the same way that we do. But we have to, I remember thinking, well, they have a way of praying that is not my way of praying. To me, it's just repeating words. Mm-hmm. And I think that everything has to do with relationship, not the words you use, it's your heartfelt relationship with Jesus. And yet, I would not present that as an offense to them in any way. I mean, the Lord really showed me, look, they believe what they believe. Maybe they're in the first grade. You're only in the third grade. You don't look down on them. Like if you were a big brother or a big sister and the little one came in and said, you know, I learned math today. You did? Yeah, one and one is two, that's math. Okay, let them believe what they believe until the Lord opens up something else for them to believe. Yes. And he has his way, and it's shown me that things that are happening to people that you sit and you scratch your head and you wonder, God, why is this happening? And you hear that person say, what have I ever done to you, oh God, that you would do this to me? And have that attitude toward God. And yet you have to, I mean, even Jesus said, oh God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, but he was on the cross that his heavenly Father sent him here to get on, you know, for the salvation of all mankind. Yes. It all works together for good. And we, if we go showing the offense to someone, buddy, we are treading on thin ice. I remember when I was in the hospital and, you know, that one year where it was in and out and in and out and in and out. And I just kind of laid, I don't know what they give you, but you kind of space out. And I know that the Lord spoke to me and spoke to me and spoke to me and took me to a place where I knew in my heart of hearts, all there is love. And when you, I remember I had called some down to where you order your lunch. Mm-hmm. And the woman was not, you know, and I was not unkind, but I had just a teensy little bitch to my voice. I mean, seriously, it was not. And when I hung up, the Lord really chided me, and he said, you have just given that woman a great big giant scoop of death. You have told, you know, with your voice, with your inflection, you have told her she's not good enough. You have told her she doesn't know how to, you have offended her. And oh my God. And from that, and I had quite an experience in the hospital of being made to understand, there now abides faith, hope, and charity, that love is the greatest of all. And when faith and hope have done their jobs, there is nothing left except love. That is what he is waiting for creation to come to, until we come into that unity of understanding who we are and who he is, and who we are in him and who he is in us. And we can't understand that. You understand that the apostles and the disciples who've been walking around with Jesus on this earth for 3 years, and we're now kind of up to that time where he's telling them the truth. You know, the day is coming when they're going to crucify me. And they're going, oh, no, Lord, no, no, don't let that be. You know, but now I'm losing my train of thought. But when we come into the unity, that's what he is waiting for. Hi there, bud. Bring your dagger and come on in.
Football.
We accidentally got Mark's ball mixed up. Sorry, guys. Where were we?
Good morning. We are in Matthew chapter 18, and we're kind of going over. We're starting at verse 1, and we're up to verse 11.
All right.
We read that, and just to go over, in case there were people missing, and then we missed a few weeks and all that jazz. So we're just kind of taking a look at, and we're in the place where we're saying, "Do not offend little children." Anybody else have anything they want to say about that? And jump right in if you feel it. I should say when you feel it.
You said we're at 18:11.
Matthew 18,
verses
1
to
9,
we went to.
Okay, so we're...
He read to 11.
Oh, we read to 11. What did I say?
1 to 9.
Oh.
So
said 1 to 10, but then you put...
And then you said...
Oh, I always flip-flop numbers.
Yeah. So that's fine.
Keep being nice to me. I need it.
No, Jeffrey used to always have to correct me in the warehouse when I flip-flopped the last two digits. It was kind of dangerous, really. I always had, like, Jeff, check this for me.
Okay. So, do you want to go on a little bit? Well, we just start now that you're here, and we'll start at 12. Yes, 12. And let's read, just read 12 through 14.
Okay, continuing in Matthew chapter 18.
Yes.
Verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, mm-hmm. and one of them has gone astray and gets lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that is lost? If it should be that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not get lost. Just so it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost and perish.
I think that's, you know, as a father of six, you know, I know, like, if something, you know, if one goes off, I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, I got five. Sometimes I joke like that, but in reality, you know, it's, you know, I'm going to, you know, when you feel like somebody's lost, we, you know, we will do what it takes to find them. And I think kind of going back to the parable of prodigal son.
Yes. I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's easy to be like, oh well, but that's not what the father thinks. You know, father's like, no, the father doesn't say, oh well. You know, he's the perfect father, and he knows that if the one needs him, he'll do it. And I think it's easy for us to sit back in judgment or you know, be judgmental about it, but like really we need to encourage those lost sheep and, you know, encourage them to make their way back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know all the best ways to do that other than to embrace them in love and align to the Father's love and as a child and immature in my faith, I don't think I was able to do that. And, you know, I just was like, you know, I kind of maintained the mentality of the older brother. But we have to embrace those as the Father embraces those lost sheep. I dwell on this portion of Scripture quite often.
Because once we were sober, yeah. And how God drew us into
himself. He's in constant pursuit of us and... Mm-hmm. You know, whether you know, we recognize it or not.
I love the other corresponding story about that when he finds that sheep, he breaks his leg. You know, what does he say? I praise the Lord for thee. I forget exactly how they put it. The injuries he has caused me. Mm-hmm. He puts that little broken-legged thing around his neck and he carries it around until the leg heals, so that he spends embracing every second of every day with his Savior, mm-hmm. until he heals.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to ever run away.
That's right. Who can we go to, Lord?
Yes.
You have the answers.
Yeah, the vision of Jesus throwing his sheep over his shoulder, definitely, like, embracing him as the Father embraces us.
Mm. Yes.
And I got to admit, there have been some times just in the last couple of weeks that I've been feeling kind of lost. There's something missing in my life right now. Yeah. I sometimes get worried and I can't shake it off and things like that. And I'm just waiting for the Lord to come and put me around those shoulders. Show me. Yeah. You know, it's easy to say it. And it's something else to get your soul to submit to that word from God. It is.
Don't you believe sometimes that I would think of the eagle and when it's ready for the eagle to fly and he makes the nest very uncomfortable so the little jagged rocks and all this sticking up so it can try to get away from him. And God takes us out of this comfort zone, this place of comfort to us, and then she pushes it out, and it's doing all this, you know, can't fly yet, and then swoops under and catches it, the mother catches it, and carries it for a while, and then he does it off and on, does it many times, until it learns to actually fly. Because if it does not, she lets it go and drop because it's going to come to a place where it's going to have to fend for itself and live, you know, it's like, and don't you see that God many times, how you're feeling, I understand that because I'm going through that too.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's bringing you and you know he's going to be opening something more to us. But to get us to desire and want to come into that place that he's bringing us to, which is deeper in him, a greater relationship. What happens? How do you feel? Dissatisfied. You feel like something's missing.
Yes.
Makes me almost want to cry.
I know exactly what you mean.
That you're not fully understanding what you're feeling and why you're feeling
all it. You know, all I can see right now is that relationships that I have counted on are not the same anymore.
Yeah.
And health that I have counted on for myself and other people is not the same as I have counted on. And situations are not the same as when you've had things in your life that you know are from the Lord, and you have relaxed in the security of that. There comes a time when God will knock out from under you anything that holds you up that is not Him.
Yes.
No crutch, no nothing. You must stand in Christ, and it's a hard time. Doors close and things that you've counted on just aren't there anymore. And even my age causes me to, you know, enter a new time of trying to shift my being from that 40-ish person who thinks he's going to live forever to realizing, wow.
Many years behind.
I wonder what's coming next, and trying to, you know, and I do rest in the security that I know whatever it is. But you know, there's a lot of things that you have to learn to let go of, and the Lord, I think, is teaching many, many people how to let go of the things that you've relied upon, even if they were from God, they were for time.
Well, we have to.
And I'd like to correct you. You are going to live forever because. You are going to live forever in Him.
Yes.
The question is, I definitely hear what you're saying too. Like
it
the transition of life, it's just how we have learned to come to accept those things that bring us what we perceive as temporary peace. But like, what we need to do is rest in the peace of His eternal promise that He offered through Christ our Lord.
Yes.
But if we look at our lives. This has been happening all along.
Yes.
But now I think it's in greater degree.
It is.
It's been happening.
There's, it's on. It's in his timetable.
All right, time to move on out of here. And when he gave me that song at work, and that was, the jacket was going to close. I haven't been there 26 years, and my, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What is it going to be like? You know all this. And that's when he gave me that song, One Step at a Time. Well, I followed the Lord. Never lagging behind, running ahead or lagging behind.
Yes, right.
And one step at a time will I seek in his word, and thus will I learn what the prophets have told. And all along he's been directing us, giving us word as we read in this word, experiences. And now it seems like it's in a greater degree. Especially now I look at the church.
Amen.
And what's going
on. And in the entire church world.
I think there is a move. I definitely feel a move of the Lord happening.
Shift.
For sure.
He's doing it really in the world, in other different churches, in where they are, with the truth, that present truth that they have. You know, because I look at, there's women, we meet together, and there's about seven of us, and one woman is African, one woman is, I forget what she is. And they all have different teachings in that, but we all love Christ.
And we get
on site that we come on to request prayer for different, answer prayer and that. But when we meet together, we share Him. Not the there's different traditions, and some of them aren't life and truth, but they love the Lord.
Yeah,
and so that's what we share is Him.
That's by the fruit.
And then as we are sharing, I can see God opening up different truths that is Him, and we're just sitting there talking, and you see a light come on in different one. That they're receiving that which God has given to you.
It reminds me.
Or to someone else. And it's Him.
Yeah, and it reminds me of what we talked about, like where God had held back the significance and the meaning of the apostles. And I don't think He was like just saying, no, you can't know yet. It was, He was, the maturation of the apostles was happening in real and in the way it was, you know, expressed in the word, and you know, you're like, well, come on, apostles, like, you're the apostles, shouldn't you know that? Well, no, they were being transformed as we all are, and as we submit to His will, His ever perfect will.
Yes,
the law of pure liberty is in perfect submission.
Yes.
That's what gives you liberty.
Yes.
And there's just, like you said, there's those things we like to just grasp hold on, like they're going to create some kind of security for us, and they have in the past. Mm-hmm. So we're clinging to it, but the Lord's telling us, let go of those things. Grasp hold of me, submit to me. And my will be done, and we don't know the treasures that we have in store until we truly get to that place, and we're constantly moving towards that space.
If you were standing on the top of the mountain and God said, just jump off, just leap, what? Don't you think you'd, well, that's...
It's like Peter.
You have to let go of what was to obtain what will become.
What would you say that again? The law of pure, what would you say?
The perfect law of liberty is in
submission.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is so true.
Yeah, and you know, the things of this world will tell us submission. No, that's weakness. That's not strength. Why would you do that? But the world's long about a lot of things. And you know, the more we trust it, the greater divide we allow to wedge in between us and the achievement of His perfect will and His beautiful presence in our life.
Think about a marriage. What happens if both people learn to submit to each other? You get a marriage that can't be broken. And is there any different with God?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, you were talking about kind of desiring to hear something because you feel like you're in need of something at this moment. And I understand that. We all understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at that moment, that's when I go back to where he has talked to me in the past to mm-hmm. see if he's going to in that way.
Yeah.
But you can't just stop there. You have to keep your ears open
yeah.
and your eyes open to see it from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he can talk to you at any point in time, in any way. Different than every time before, he can talk to you the same way that he always kind of does. If he kind of talks to you the same way, you just have to. There's nothing wrong with going to the. If it's the Word, then go straight to the Word. If it's prayer, go straight to prayer.
If it's fast.
And if it's you know something you're reading somewhere, and it's not even the Bible, but you're reading something, and he speaks to you out of it or something, because you know he. He is in everything there if you look for him. You know what I mean? He's in he's created everything. So it's like if you can look for him, you'll see him. You just can't get distracted by the other stuff that surrounds it sometimes. But you're looking for him and you're listening for him at this point, and we all are. But yeah, you got to just keep those ears open to hear where he's coming from.
It goes back to what I said last week when I read that verse in Matthew where it said he told him he was going to go to the cross and die, and on the third day he was going to raise, he would return, and they didn't hear it on the third day. We have to hear the whole thing, and Luke it even says they didn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah, and I think too, as I've been kind of like, as Mark says, you know, what may be the thing you go to seek him. Maybe something you've done in the past, and it may be different from person to person. I mean, we all, but like, I have been reading through a lot of the Old Testament and just the Bible. I got a Bible in the Year program I'm running through. I'm 200 something days in, and just the beauty of the Word. And but like, what I find so beautiful about it is the whole story. When and you know, our brain can only process it in instance, but like the beauty is in the whole story of God from the beginning to you know, our salvation through Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And I'm finding such beauty in, you know, stepping back and looking at the whole story. You know, my personality is built in a way where I want to know the answer and I want to know it right now. And but the Lord's teaching me through time is that like there's more to the story.
Oh, yes.
Step back and allow me to reveal it to you.
Mm-hmm. Piece by piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and I always find myself satisfied when I submit to what you know, seeking out his truth. But when I find myself in places of depression or in the pits, is when I'm grasping to those things that I've falsely put sense of security in, and they were temporary. And my mind just logically knows that they were temporary.
How do I make this work? How do I make this work?
How do I
will exhaust
this?
You?
Yeah.
And get you to be wanting to give up.
Yeah, and I feel like as fathers, you know, and mothers do have their own thing, but as fathers, we want to have the solution for everything, and we want to have it now, because we don't want our children to suffer, we don't want our family to suffer, but the reality is there's strength in the trial and coming through the trial and you know, retaining the obedience, and sometimes we aren't obedient, and that's okay. And we have to, and at that point, we embrace the grace of you know, of God, and we allow it to fill that void, mm-hmm. And we to get us back to a place of relationship with Him, where Yeah, I definitely have felt in a similar capacity. I mean, and I feel it regularly. It's cyclical. It's not just, oh well, it's just these times. It seems to come in cycles. And the more I submit to and commit to reading the Word and focusing on what the Lord reveals to me, whether it be through my life experiences, and it may not be anything to do with the church. It might just be a random interaction with somebody that has no interest in church, but they reveal something to me mm-hmm. in a very beautiful way if I allow it to, if I allow the Lord to show me.
Amen.
You know, we were talking earlier about when before you were here about suffer not, you know, the little children to come unto me, and it said that that's a toddler, and I was talking about Gus.
Yeah.
When we have Wednesday nights, Gus just takes over
yeah.
my senses. He is so adorable.
Yeah, he's
and
he's a little lovable.
Just the joy of life and riding around and and just now I was thinking the difference when you line up your children as they grow older, what they change. And there was a time when Felicity, is that your oldest daughter,
mm-hmm.
was exactly like Gus.
I know.
And yet,
now she's.
What is she learning? What is she learning? She's learning responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
She's learning, you know, until now she's becoming a full grown adult,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
in
it,
the family.
She's starting high school in
yes.
next week. I
yeah.
can't believe it.
Yeah. Hmm. And so, you know, that is amazing to me, and that's why the little toddlers become the pillars of the church, the building.
Mm-hmm. And if you bring them
into the kingdom.
Yeah, and I think sometimes as a father and even mothers reinforce this is that we want to protect them. We think we know how to protect them. No,
mm-hmm.
no, the Lord knows how
mm-hmm.
to. And the more we submit to Him, the better we will be at that. But trying, it's just we always want to control it. We always want to have our hands on it. We want to fix it. And I just have asked the Lord many, many times to let me let that go. Like, and don't, I can't work it out in my head. I can't map it out in my head with my own logic. I have to submit to God, what God wants me to do and what the Lord's teaching me through it. And until I get to that place, I find myself in toils. I find myself in stretches of sadness that are hard to overcome. But then something the Lord reveals to me and pulls me through and pulls me out of it and being like, all right, you done, Brian? You done trying to fix it? Let the Lord do it. And, you know, one of Pastor Oscar's last sermon, I loved it, or one of them at least, he kept saying, you know, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And it's because I know Pastor Oscar knows from his many years of experience,
oh,
the Lord can
yes.
if you lean on Him and allow Him to be present and a part of it.
I think we better go.
Yeah.
It's 10:53. Who would like to close in prayer?
I can.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for those that aren't here in person to fellowship with us. We thank you for those that came before us and taught us this great truth that you revealed to us as we submit to you, Lord. We just ask that you bless Brother Mark as he delivers the word today. We just ask that, you know, that it reveal to us that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what you would want to deliver through Brother Mark. We just ask that you bless our families, bless the church, and bless those who have not yet seen you but will.
Yes.
We just ask this all in your perfect name. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Wonderful question.